Every year, more than 14 million blood transfusions take place in the United States. But there's a good-sized group that's not part of that number. Jehovah's Witnesses do not accept transfusions under any circumstances. The belief comes from lines in the Bible admonishing people to, quote, abstain from blood. So you have a group of people committed to avoiding other people's blood and a medical establishment that considers transfusions low risk, routine, and life-saving. That might seem like an unbridgeable gap, but as KNKX contributor Alex Ashley reports for Sound Effect, witness communities and doctors are working together to find solutions.
Jeffrey Heckman is in his 60s with salt and pepper hair. He isn't much for small talk. He has sort of a Joe Friday, just the facts, ma'am approach. But as we sit at his dining room table in Snohomish, he agrees to tell me about what happened to him a few years ago, a time when he almost died.
Things were accelerating. You couldn't move. You couldn't do anything to alleviate the pain.
It was August 2014. Jeff was in the San Juan Islands with some friends and family at a vacation home in Friday Harbor.
And I was doing a little bit of Bible study while the girls were preparing breakfast.
And then, out of nowhere.
It's like, uh-oh, what's this? This is not a normal feeling. And it's like these hot vice grips are collapsing your chest.
Jeff was rushed to the hospital on San Juan Island. By the time he got there, both of his arms were numb. He couldn't walk. The doctor did an electrocardiogram, an EKG, which records electrical activity in the heart. Something was very wrong.
In about 5 minutes, the doctor came out and said, hey, we've ordered a chopper for you. Where do you want to go?
Later, when we were at the hospital, and he's going to be put on the helicopter, and I'm just busy filling in all this paperwork.
That's Jeff's wife, Lorraine.
They came over and asked me what I weighed, and I weighed too much to be added to the chopper. So I had to come down on the ferry on my own.
With Jeff on the helicopter, along with the flight crew and all their equipment, there wasn't room for Lorraine. So while Jeff was in the air, she drove to Everett, about a three-hour journey from Friday Harbor.
I remember the police escorting me from the hospital to the front of the ferry line.
And they kept saying, do you have more pain? And I said, I did. Somewhere in all of that, I passed out. We landed on top of Providence. I have no recollection.
By the time they got Jeff ready for surgery, Lorraine had just gotten off the ferry. She was still over an hour away.
My brother-in-law, Kevin, called and said, they can't wait any longer for you to get here. They're going to take him into surgery, and I think you need to... you might need to say goodbye. So that was a crazy conversation because, of course, he was full of drugs and there were cars whizzing by. And
so it was explained to me later that I had an aortic dissection, and I'd never heard of that before.
What happened to Jeff is rare. Basically, it's when the large blood vessel branching off from the heart tears open. 80% of patients die before they ever get to the hospital. And if you are among that surviving 20%, then you have to survive open heart surgery. So when Jeff landed at Providence Medical Center in Everett, the stakes were high.
And the doctor came out and said, I want this man into the surgery now. Whatever you're doing, get him in there. I'm ready.
But there was a catch.
I remember someone saying to me, are you one of Jehovah's Witnesses? And I said, yeah, I'm one of Jehovah's Witnesses. And they said, do you take blood? And I said, no, I don't.
Jeff was about to go into open heart surgery, and having a blood transfusion was off the table. As one of Jehovah's Witnesses, he believed a blood transfusion violated specific laws in the Bible about abstaining from blood. I know this because I'm a witness too.
So Jehovah's Witnesses believe that blood transfusion is prohibited by such Bible passages as Genesis 9, 3 and 4, and Leviticus 17, 13 and 14, and Acts 15, 19 and 20, which simply say to abstain from blood.
This is Jim Higgins. He's one of Jeff's friends, a fellow elder.
And although those verses are not stated in medical terms, we view them as in religious terms, that we rule out transfusion of whole blood, red blood cells, white blood cells, platelets, and plasma.
Jim is also a member of the Seattle Hospital Liaison Committee. The HLC is a committee of specially trained elders among Jehovah's Witnesses who are taught how to work with the medical community, how to help members of their congregations get the best treatment possible without violating their beliefs. There's about 1,700 of these committees around the world. Three of them are in Washington state.
So as a liaison, we're working with the community, the Jehovah's Witness community, and the hospital. And our role is always defined by the fact that we're not clinicians. We are ministers. So we're not there to tell the doctors how to do their job. But what we are there for is to help our members find doctors that will work with our members, that will honor our stand on non-blood management for a case or for surgery.
The doctor Jim found to help Jeffrey was James Brevig. Dr. Brevig has performed dozens of bloodless surgeries at Providence Medical Center in Everett and was open to taking Jim's case. When I met Dr. Brevig, he was still in his scrubs. He had already had a full day of surgery, procedures that last hours at a time. This maybe was the first time he'd sat down all day. Brevig is the first to admit that blood transfusions do, in fact, save lives. There's no argument there. But he also says the use of blood is not in step with Western medicine.
We dose medications in milligrams or micrograms or milligrams per kilogram or micrograms per kilogram per minute. We do trials of drugs based on body weight, and we're very careful with dosing. But that doesn't really exist for blood. Blood is a vital, irreplaceable bodily fluid, and we as surgeons and healthcare professionals ought to treat it that way, rather than treating it like motor oil or brake fluid, and if you lose some, you pour some more in.
Brevig says blood transfusion was rushed into practice during World War II because of the severe loss of blood on the battlefield. By the time the war ended in 1945, the American Red Cross had collected 13 million pints.
So the dose of blood is a unit of blood, which is a pint. What, we dose nothing else in pints. What kind of dose is that? I mean, it's crazy. I can't give them a half a unit of blood, by the way. I have to give them a whole unit. They only come in units. So that's, if I want to dose an antibiotic, I can tell the pharmacy how many milligrams I'd like to give, and I'll get it. But I can't tell them how many milliliters of blood I want. I either get one pint or I get 2 pints. So it's really, it's sort of a backwards, grandfathered in anachronism.
As he treated patients like Jehovah's Witnesses who refused blood products altogether, Brevig says his views about blood transfusions began to shift.
The vast majority of those patients did not suffer any adverse consequence from their decision not to accept blood products.
When Dr. Brevig operated on Jeffrey, he was in surgery for a full 10 hours.
Those cases are typically treated with lots of blood products because they tend to have a lot more bleeding. And so it means that I have to be very meticulous with my surgical technique.
And I've thanked Dr. Brevig for his clever hands and his team in saving my life. And then he's monitored me for the last 3 years to make sure that everything's going just fine. And the fact that I'm here.
Hearing Jeffrey's story reminds me that I may be in his position someday. Medical emergencies are more complicated for Jehovah's Witnesses, but that doesn't mean we're not prepared. In fact, we sort of train for moments like this. Most of us keep what we casually call a no-blood card in our wallet. Luckily, more doctors are open to trying different approaches, from slow and careful surgical procedures to blood-saving techniques, including a device known as a cell salvage machine. I like to think that these medical advances are helping more people than just those who share my beliefs. Maybe the doctors who do these procedures find a kind of grace in reaching beyond what some would say is an overused therapy. I think Dr. Brevig put it best when I asked his opinion about blood.
I'm not really a religious person, but the closest thing to me that is sacred is a patient's bodily integrity. And their organs and their blood is part of that.